Dear friends, thank you for joining us once again this week. In this week's Gnostic Lab on Practical Application, let's have a conversation about this thing called the fallacy of the ego. For those of you who are not familiar, the word fallacy means lie. It means deception. And this is exactly the one thing that the ego does. As a matter of fact, you may have heard or may have read in many of Samael's works, the many instances in which he refers to our egos as devils. And he does that with a purpose, because Samael, number one, is never wrong, and number two, he is very exact and precise in the use of his word. And when he refers to our ego as a collection of devils, he really means it, because the devil, it's not that anthropomorphic figure that we are familiarized with because it's of our own creation, that has two horns, that is red and has a long pointy tail, walking around with a trident, ruler of a kingdom of fire, waiting for souls to get to hell so that he can shove them into the burning lavas of hell with his trident. You know, that is not the devil. Devils are all those that deceive. Devils are all those that fool others. Devils are the ones who lie, the ones who create conflict. This is the true meaning of that word devil. And this is what our ego is. Our legion of psychological aggregates. All of these egos that we carry within, because it is not just one ego. You know, we go through college and we hear in our introductory courses in psychology about the id, the ego, and the superego. And how is it that we are divided in three, and the ego is that thing that we are, and the id is our animal aspect, and the superego is that sublime aspect of the self. No, this is just another artifice of the mind. This is just one more of those deceptions of the ego itself. There is nothing pretty about the ego. There is nothing cute about our values. It is true that we have some positive values, but we have to be very careful, because even those positive aspects of our ego have to go away. Even those beautiful things that we see in ourselves as people, we have to get rid of those, because the ego has this habit of fooling, and it fools us, it fools others, it fools itself. The ego has this habit of fooling, and when we say that, we have to be very watchful about how is it that our own ego fools us. Because listen, we know that the ego has three primary states. It has a neopsychic state, it has an archaeopsychic state, and it also has a psychic state that is specific to the interpretation of sensations. And our ego is a very bad secretary. So we may be looking at conditions, circumstances in our daily life, and all of a sudden we may feel overwhelmed. We could be going through some financial hardship. We could be having car problems and be very tight in our budget and be unable to fix the car, right? We could be facing an illness. We could be facing any of a myriad of many different scenarios in life. And because our ego is so ignorant, we will interpret all of those causes and conditions incorrectly. And it could be that we are going through some circumstances, and all that we have to do is demonstrate that we are capable of adapting to them. It could be that all we have to do is not only adapt to them, but make the best out of all those circumstances. It could be that we need to demonstrate serenity, that we need to demonstrate being charitable to others. It could be any of those things for those very adverse conditions to go away. It could be something as simple as that. But the ego does not understand that. And in this habit of fooling and deceiving, we would become victims. And we would be asking ourselves, why is this happening to me? I am such a good person. I sacrifice so much for others. I do this for the community. I do this for the local school. And then it becomes a thing of I, of me, of the ego itself. And it becomes a self-centric environment where everything revolves around me. People get into such a condition that many people end up committing suicide. They are unable to deal with these circumstances to maybe be able to withstand an additional day, an additional week, maybe an additional month, maybe an additional year, and being unable to make the most of the circumstances, being unable to adapt to the conditions, they give up. And the very same ego, the ego of self-defeat, takes over. And that ego is so cruel that it will even want to extinguish itself. But not extinguish itself to disappear, but extinguish itself so that those conditions, quote-unquote, go away, so that it can reemerge once those conditions are gone. The ego has no interest in disappearing, but it will fool the personality. And as a consequence, people will commit suicide. And this is very sad. Many other people would be fooled by this habit of deception that the ego carries, and they will start creating all of these ideals in their lives. And they will think that if they are patient, that eventually, with the flow of time, they will become illuminated. That is a lie. There are many people who think that if they are patient and they wait with the passage of time, they will become more patient. They will become serene. They will become better persons. That is a lie. The only way that we can become serene, the only way that we can become better people, the only way that we can become truly charitable, truly altruistic, truly chaste, is through the elimination of the ego itself. But the ego is so clever, it is so perverse, that it will dress itself with the best garments. It will give the appearance of being a saint. It will even manage to have others adoring it. But that is all a lie. And Samael says that just like in this modern era, everything is produced in series, in high flow, in vast and large quantities. Just like we make homes in large quantities, just like we build cars in large quantities, just like we see clothes being produced in large quantities, the same thing happens with the ego. And there are all these series of thoughts, all of these series of emotions, all of these series of perceptions that are associated to the ego itself. The worst thing is that there are so many schools out there. There are so many incorrect ideas out there that lead people to believe that our ego has a superior and an inferior aspect. And you heard us say it earlier today. Basic psychology. It teaches you that there is a part of you that is animalistic, cruel, violent in nature, that is the id, and another one that is sublime, altruistic, superior in nature, which is your superego. This is also a lie. Because what we are looking at is at the extremes of the same thing. Just picture yourself holding a thermometer in your hand. many of you will remember those old thermometers, the ones that used to have metallic mercury inside. You remember when they broke, you would touch them and you would be able to make just those little pellets of mercury. It's a good thing we don't have that, because mercury happens to be toxic, a neurotoxin. But anyway, what happens? If you happen to visualize yourself holding a thermometer on your hand, on one side of the thermometer is extreme cold. On the other side of the thermometer is extreme heat. One side is extremely hot, on the other side it is extremely cold. And between those two extremes, there are infinite degrees of difference. There are so many degrees of difference that you cannot tell by looking at the thermometer where is it that cold starts and where is it that hot stops. You cannot do that. So imagine now that thermometer being your ego. And on the top side you have your superior self, your superior I, and at the bottom you have your inferior I. The same thing happens. You have infinite number of degrees between that inferior and that superior one, and at the end of the day, they are still extremes of the very same thing. We have to get rid of this ego. The ego is constantly hiding its mistakes. The ego will make very clear its intentions only after it has assumed ownership of the human machine. That means that it has control over the five cylinders of your human organism. That means that it's controlling your habits. It is controlling your sexuality. It is controlling your instincts. It is controlling your emotions, and it is controlling your thoughts. At that moment, it will make its intentions very clear, and the suicidal ego, at that point, will take ownership of that human machine, and it will grab a gun and terminate the personality, destroy the body, or poison it, or hang it, or drown it, or do something with it. It will do that. The same thing happens with the ego of vanity. You may be starving. You may be in the sofa, in your house, in your living room, and your stomach may be growling, saying, the body saying, please feed me. And you will stand up and you will open the door of the refrigerator. And when you are looking at the refrigerator itself, the ego of vanity takes ownership of your human machine. And at that moment, your thoughts become the ownership of your ego of vanity. And then you start getting worried about, if I eat that, I'm going to get fat. If I eat that, that's not good for me. If I eat that, I'm going to have to brush my teeth again. All of these silly thoughts. And then your emotions will also become and fall ownership of this ego of vanity. And then you start looking at all those good things and you start suffering. Because your mouth is watering. That's what's happening as your body is trying to respond to those sensations, right? And then your emotions will be like, I really don't want to do this. I want people to desire me. I want to look good in those clothes. I need to be on a diet. And then you will close the door. The ego will overrule all of your instinctive impulses that are telling you that you need to nourish yourself. It will extract energy from your sexual center, and you will start feeling a little depressed, because you're hungry, but you still want to look good. And then it takes ownership of the body and it walks you back to the sofa so that you can sit down and then not eat. This is what it does. It is constantly hiding all of its mistakes. It is constantly justifying all of its mistakes. So for all purposes, dear friends, we are Pharisees. On the outside, we may be beautiful. On the outside, we may come across as being model citizens. On the outside, we would come across as being very calm, very reserved. But on the inside, ha, ha, ha. On the inside, we are just full of filth. And this is so true. How many people have we not seen that dress themselves in garments of sainthood. There is a major religion out there that suffers of this, and every so often we find the same news. These people who dress themselves with all of these garments of sainthood, they claim that they have dedicated their lives to the service of God. And before long, news come up that they have been abusing of children. This is the typical Pharisee. How many of these people do we not see where they mutilate their bodies? They inflict pain upon themselves. They inflict pain upon themselves as a means to punish themselves because of the wrong that they have done, because of the wrong that they have thought of doing. And even though they do that, and they deliberately create damage to their bodies, once their body goes to sleep, they start suffering. And they suffer because of nocturnal pollutions. And they suffer because they continue to have all of these erotic dreams, and they continue fornicating within the astral plane. This is, my friends, what happens with the ego. And if we are not careful, this ego is going to continue hurting us. This is why we need to bring calmness into the mind. This is why we need to relax, because that is the whole purpose of meditation, that we learn to relax. The thing is that we have misunderstood what this means for a long, long time. People think that relaxing means lay on your back, close your eyes, and fall asleep. That is not it. We need to learn to relax our physicality. That is true. We need to learn to eliminate the tension from all of our muscles. We need to learn to relieve the tension from all of our organs. We need to do that so that our body, number one, can recover, and number two, that those organs can start working in the most efficient way possible. But we also have to learn to relax our emotions. We need to learn to receive the criticism of others without exploding in anger. And that is difficult. That is hard work. It can be done. You can do it. You can master that. But it requires a work. We also have to learn to relax our mind. We have to learn to achieve the highest way of thinking, which is not thinking. And that is difficult. That requires of hard work. But you can do it. It can be done, and you are capable of doing that. Because right now, our mind is just like a storm. It's like a hurricane. Our mind is like a very aggressive ocean. This is our mind. It is constantly being bombarded from the outside with all of this consistent stimulus that we're getting through our mobile devices, through the marketing campaigns, through the headlines in the tabloids, the headlines in the newspapers, from the commercials on TV, from the scenery and the dramas that we find in all of these TV shows that we keep watching. So, of course, our mind is not relaxing. We're living with the problems of work, the problems of home. We are forgetting that we need to make an effort to adapt ourselves to these circumstances, that we need to learn to make the most out of every instance that we live in our lives, because this life is the path to initiation. But many people go to sleep at night, and they wake up at 2 and 3 in the morning, worried about the problems of work, worried about the status of their bank account, worried about the bills that they have to pay. Dear friends, we have to learn to calm this mind so that we can discover the devilishness of our own ego. We need to learn to calm our mind so that we can look at every thought, and that we can learn to trace back what is the origin of that thought? Because Samael says, behind every thought, there is an ego. Behind every action, there is an ego. When we start observing ourselves in this way, we start discovering how is it that our ego affects our thinking? How is it that the ego affects our sentiments? How is it that our ego affects our emotions? How it drains our vitality? And ultimately, how it affects us physically, in our habits, in our instinctual impulses, how it takes away from our sexual force, from our creative power. Because the sexual energy that we have, that is the source of power of all of our functions. Just like uranium-236 is the fuel of a nuclear reactor, just as jet fuel is the fuel of a jet engine of a supersonic aircraft, our creative sexual energy is the fuel of all of our functions. And we need to learn to use it wisely. So let's go ahead and let's do a brief practice. Let's start by relaxing our physical body. If you happen to be laying on your back, that would be phenomenal. If you're sitting up comfortably on your chair, that is very favorable as well. But let's go ahead and close our eyes. Let's take a deep breath in one. Two. Let's do that again. One. Two. One. Two. Let's go ahead and relax our physical body. Visualizing that our body is populated by an infinite amount of gnomes. Allow them to walk out of your feet one at a time. And as you bring your attention to your feet, and you objectively use your imagination to see these gnomes walking out, you can feel that relaxation extending through your feet, up into your calves and into your knees. Let's continue breathing comfortably. And while still observing these gnomes walking out the soles of our feet, we feel that relaxation penetrating deep into our thighs, reaching our glutes and our sexual organs. And if we do not allow our attention to drift, we can suddenly feel that our legs are inundated by a very subtle vibration. And they feel very relaxed and very comfortable. So let's continue breathing without making any real effort. And observing our gnomes walking out the soles of our feet, let's continue allowing that deep state of relaxation to reach our internal organs. And if it helps you, see yourself caressing with infinite love your liver. let's continue extending this relaxation all the way up to our shoulders. And as we breathe in and exhale, let's allow this relaxation to extend down our shoulders into our arms and elbows, our forearms, our wrists, and our hands. We continue breathing effortlessly. And we relax our jaw and our tongue. We relax our lips. The muscles in our cheeks. We relax the muscles in our forehead, our eyes. And we ultimately allow this relaxation to reach the crown of our head. In this state of relaxation, we say, Father of mine, God of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, we ask of you, of your powerful assistance. Allow us to comprehend deeply and truly all of these useless battles of thought that we endure every day. Allow us, Father, to comprehend our actions, our internal and external reactions to these events that we experience in life. Allow us, Father, to see the hidden intentions of our ego. Allow us to decipher the secret answers of the ego itself. So that we can reach the quietude and the silence of the mind. And as we do this, let's remain with our eyes closed and continue breathing without effort. And eventually one thought will emerge in our mind. And perhaps you may think that you are not thinking. And the thought of not thinking is a thought by itself. So as we observe that thought, without fighting it, without judging it, as we observe that thought, let's make an effort to see what is constructive and what is destructive out of that thought. This thought of not thinking, of us considering that our mind is quiet, it gives the impression of being very useful. It gives the impression of us being able to make a lot of progress in these studies. It gives the impression of us developing certain abilities. On the other hand, this very thought of no thinking, it deceives us. Because by thinking that we are not thinking, we tend to believe that we understand the concept of no thinking. This thought of no thinking is a very subtle lie of the ego that distracts us, and it will distract us long enough until another thought emerges so that we can identify with the next thought as well, so that we can fascinate with it, and that we can remain within the sleep of the consciousness. So this idea, this consideration of us not thinking, it is really an obstacle to our work. And then we can see how it affects our thinking. Because when we think that we're not thinking, then we don't know what to think. And in a way, mentally, we are just there, waiting for something to happen. And that condition by itself triggers in the sincere student a very subtle internal hysteria. And as you're watchful, you can see that little hysteria so subtly emerging from your emotional center, some 3 fingers above your navel. And in a way, it becomes a little unnerving because you're thinking that you're not thinking and you are waiting for something to happen. And yet, nothing feels to be happening. And at the physical level, you can feel how this condition slowly steals away that subtle vibration that you were experiencing just a few minutes ago as your body was very relaxed, bringing your body again into a state of tension. So we continue to breathe without forcing the breath. We say, Divine Father, through you, in the name of the Christ, by the power of Christ, by the love of Christ, we once again invoke our last state of relaxation. And we can feel the relaxation coming back into our bodies. But here we have seen, just so slightly, that useless battle of thought. Here we have seen the internal reaction to that thought of no thinking. Here we have seen the secret reply, the secret answer of that ego. And we saw it as our body slowly became tense. So using our objective consciousness, making use of this 3% of awakened consciousness that remains free within us, we can observe what is the source of this thought of no thinking. Because all of these egos emerge from one of the five cylinders of the human machine. And we can see that this thought emerges from our intellectual center. It does not take long to realize that one of our many thousands of egos is the ego of meditation. And we have experienced firsthand the fallacy of that ego, making us believe that we are not thinking when indeed we are, stealing away our relaxation and consuming of our creative power by making our physical body and our personality tense once again. And even in this brief, superficial state of comprehension, we can say, Father of mine, we ask of you, with our soul and our heart, that you invoke that part of you that is also a part of me, our Divine Mother, Kundalini. Divine Mother, we ask of you, we beg of you, with our soul and our heart, that you take of your flaming spear of arrows, and that you please destroy within us this ego of meditation. Help us, Mother, destroying this ego, so that as we sit down to practice this discipline of the true Gnostic student, that we can in fact learn to calm the mind, to achieve an internal state of serenity, so that we can learn to listen to the voice of our innermost. Thank you, Divine Mother. Thank you, Divine Father, who art in secret. May all these things materialize according to the great will of the great law. So be it. And now you can wiggle your toes and your fingers. And once again, you can open your eyes. Dear friends, as you have seen, this is a very simple practice. But as with every and any practice of meditation, none of these exercises can be time-bound. So we ask of you, dedicate this week. Observe your thoughts. Look for the origin of your thoughts. Seek to comprehend how it affects your thinking and your emotions and your habits. How it steals that creative energy from you. And as you reach time and time again a deeper level of comprehension, always invoke of your Divine Mother and ask her to eliminate that defect that you have comprehended, so that she can help weaken that ego until the absolute comprehension arrives and the absolute elimination takes place. Friends, we have sourced the material today for this practice from the book, The Revolution of the Dialectic. We just want to thank you for joining us this week. Have a phenomenal weekend, and may all beings be happy.